Now, continuing on with Genesis, for study purposes, look through chapters 10 and 11 and study the unity of race and speech, the location of the events, the land of Sinar, the purpose of the Tower of Babel to be a center of rebellion against God, God's judgment, the confusion of tongues, and the result of the judgment, dispersion. Now let's go to Abraham. This will cover chapters 12 through 25. It'll be interesting to observe that the first 11 chapters of Genesis cover about 2,000 years, about equal in length to the time covered by the rest of the Bible. Why does the Spirit hurry so over the events of the dawn of history? Because, as we found out in earlier study, the Bible is mainly a history of redemption, and the history of nations is only incidental to that subject. The Spirit hurries over all these events till he comes to Abraham. Then he stops and devotes more space to that one person than he does to 2,000 years of human history. The reason is obvious. The Father of the Faithful plays an important role in the history of redemption. By the way of review, turn back to chapter 5. We called attention there to the genealogy of Noah, beginning with Adam. Now turn to chapters 11, 10 through 26, and you will find that this list is continued. God is still keeping a record of the ancestors of the seed of the woman. With the name of what one important person does this list end? See Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. The promise of Genesis 3, verse 15, passed on to Abraham. God separated him from the heathen surroundings, and besides personal promises, made the following national and universal promises. See chapters 12, verse 1 to 3. That he should be given a land, which is Canaan. That he should be the father of a nation, which is Israel. That through this nation, in this land, all nations of the earth should be blessed. In other words, the Redeemer promised in 3:15 should come from a nation descending from Abraham. A study of the life of Abraham will reveal that it is a life of faith, a faith that was tested from the time that he was called to the time when he was commanded to sacrifice his son Isaac. His life is an illustration of the type of person who would receive the blessings promised in 12:3. And a prophecy of the truth that salvation should be through faith. See Galatians 3, verse 8, and Romans chapter 4. In this study, we shall have time to give only the bare outline of the life of the patriarch. Since you have read the chapters, the details will suggest themselves. Learn the following facts. His call to go to Canaan, his descent into Egypt and happenings while there, his separation from Lot, and the subsequent deliverance of the latter from captivity, his reception of God's covenant, and his justification by faith, his circumcision as a sign of the covenant, the annunciation of Isaac's birth, his dismissal of Hagar and Ishmael, his offering up of Isaac, his choice of a bride for Isaac, his children by Keturah, and his death. Now Isaac. To Abraham were born two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Of these, Isaac was chosen as the inheritor of the promise. The life of Isaac is quiet and uneventful, and it seems to be a mere echo of his father. Yet, like his father, he was a man of faith and a channel of blessing. Notice that the promise is repeated to him in chapter 26. Learn the following six facts concerning Isaac: his birth promise to Abraham and Sarah, bound upon an altar of sacrifice, Abraham's choice of a bride for him, God appears to him and renews the covenant made to his father, his deception by Jacob, and his death.